You're supposed to say the ones.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. The views and opinions are other
opinions. Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions and my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlin's ears, so listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Also, please don't do anything that these stupid-ass people do in this video or this podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show.
To Exploring the Paranormal Perspective, Season 3, Episode 2 with Enzo's Real. If you haven't listened to Part 1, I encourage you to go do so. You can find me at Spotify, Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. And without further ado, Part 2.
Then, what we currently have, so they'd be using that a lot.
Right.
If that was something that they had. The only reason I can think where they wouldn't is there's only like two or three, because they didn't have the materials to make it do what it does. We just don't have enough of it to make fleets of them.
Right.
But still, if that's something that you're trying to keep secret, you're not letting it float a few hundred feet off of the ground to where entire cities, because there was a giant flap in the 90s of black triangles over in Europe where they were seeing them all the time. A lot of pictures of them, a lot of statements from people. Belgium was kind of where it was sort of centered at, but it was kind of most of that western part of Europe, central part of Europe, where they saw a ton of black triangles. Now, just gone. They don't see them anymore. But one of my things with because there is some psychology in all of this. Whether we like to agree with it or not, but Kenneth Arm, 1947, he sees a group of shiny object lights flying over Mount Rainier over in Washington State. And, he's a doctor, he's a qualified pilot. He was actually out looking for another crash plane that had crashed like a few days earlier. He was helping in the grid pattern for the search pattern for this crash plane. And he sees what he described as several shimmering kind of objects that they weren't exact. He never said disc shaped. I think, what was his description? Basically, they were glinting in the sun, so he didn't get a super obvious, look at it.
Right.
But it was the way they were moving. They were skipping. It wasn't just flying from one side to the other. They would kind of hop, taking these dramatically fast speeds and then sort of linger for a second and then sort of they're all doing it together in kind of a formation, like a V type formation.
Huh.
And clocked him doing, you know, because okay, they're at this mountain. They're going from here. I know that's so many miles. It took him so many seconds. So that's like 6,000 miles an hour or whatever the number.
Wow.
And they had an artist draw a picture of it. And it was more a crescent shape, what he says he saw. Or maybe, and there were other sightings around the U.S. of a similar kind of craft. It was basically like the heel of a dress shoe, where it's rounded and then flat on the back. And, of course, the famous article with the doctor there after his sighting and going public with it. He's like, he was describing the weird motion, which is what drew his attention to it, that hopping thing. He said it was skipping a saucer across the water. Like if you were to throw it like a Frisbee and just tink, 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 tink. That's where the term flying saucer came from.
Ah.
After that, all through the 50s and 60s, everybody's seeing flying saucers now. Even though that's not what he saw, that's not what he described. He just said it was moving like if you were to skip a saucer across the water. And the press ran with flying saucers seen around Mount Rainier. And all of this just happened to be a few weeks before the supposed, you gotta do the supposed, gotta have the crash at Roswell. So
supposed,
you know, quote. There's plenty of stories, true, not true, total fabrication, the absolute truth about all of it, you know, from beginning to end.
Yep.
Where, you know, it wasn't just one side, it was actually two. And this is, you know, all this stuff. And there's a lot of muddying the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of this stuff, by both people that, like, we, and you see it today, where my commentary that I've said so far today about like Lou Elizondo and David Grush and all that is fairly mod. It's like, yeah, well, they've said a lot of things, a lot of stories you've heard before. They haven't shown us any of this paperwork, or this, David Grush says he interviewed like 40 different people, and to tell him was like, great, get those people in front of Congress. Why are we talking to you? We should be talking to them. They told you the story. Why are we listening to you? You're the middleman in this.
Precisely.
But no. Don't show up. But so you get the muddying of the waters from like true believer kind of guys, where every light in the sky is a UFO. Every twig break in the forest is a Bigfoot. Every settling, squeaky floorboard in the house is a ghost. You know, it's true believers.
All right.
And they start spitting their own theories. And, you know, they'll defend this person as long as they're saying exactly something that agrees with them. They'll totally defend them to the death, whether right or wrong.
Yep.
And it just turns into this cluster mess of people arguing over the dumbest stuff. You just gotta, I don't know what to believe, because they
gotta research it yourself.
You really do. And unfortunately, it gets so polluted sometimes that you even after listening to hours of videos and going through people's timelines on Twitter and, you know, somebody's videos about it, you still don't know, because it's like, just trying to figure out how this all started.
Right.
And with our current wave, started at Skinwalker Ranch.
On that note, don't go anywhere. Hang on just a second. We're going to continue on Twitch and Kick, but I got to end it on StreamYard. Those that are watching on StreamYard, if y'all want to watch the continuation of this conversation, go to kick.com/geeksparanormal, and you'll be able to ask questions to Enzo if you have any questions, or be able to just speak to him in the chat if you'd like to. Until next week, those on legit.com's page, I'm trying to think. While I talk, and that's hard. Words are hard, Enzo.
They are difficult.
Tune in next week for my geek search of the Hinsdale house. Until next time, I
do know how to fix the audio on legit.com. I will fix it for next week. Until next time, bye, y'all. All right. Now, to continue over on the kick side, Angel has said, hell, the structures are mostly intact hundreds of years later with time, weather, all kinds of stuff. I don't see anything we build now being able to stand up for that long. It's amazing to think of, talking about the pyramids. Right. And then she said, I would most likely get unalived if I ever, okay, she'd get dead.
Right.
If I ever saw a Bigfoot, because I would try to boot the snoot. Now, Crimson Angel did say unalived, but I'm saying get dead. Okay. I'm too old for this new verbiage shit. Oh, my goodness.
It's all to trip the algorithm is really
it
what
is. It is. Oh, it's crazy. But yes, it's amazing to see, because you still see some of the stuff that are over in Europe up and still around years later. I cried when the church, the Notre Dame church, caught on fire, because I will never be able to see the original architect or anything of that stuff that was up there.
Yep. Lost forever.
Angel says, trying to be PC geeks. Girl, you should know me by now. I ain't PC. I'm real. This is what you see is what you get. Enzo's met me in person. He can vouch.
That's right. Those rare things where two people on the internet that just talk like this have actually met in real life.
Right? It's rare. Because you got those that want to pretend just to be PC compliant or politically correct. And I'm not. but to continue on this conversation, now I gotta think about what the fuck we were talking about.
I don't know.
Well, Skinwalker Ranch was the last thing you said.
our current stuff that you see in the news today,
yeah,
starts with the Bigelow, investigation out at the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah. Yep.
There's, to be fair, because they did get money from the federal government to do some research out there, because supposedly Skinwalker Ranch is one of those weird places that we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. that they kind of have everything. They have the paranormal potpourri all happening all in the same place all the same time, where they've got ghost-like activity, they got cryptid activity, they got Bigfoot activity, which is different from the other cryptid activity, they got UFO sightings, they got portals,
they have everything.
Bigfoot jumping out. Well, the thing is, and you may, I know you've investigated some stuff.
Enzo rocks. Yes, he does. Sorry.
that's Nikki from Sasquatch Secrets. she's a good friend. But you certainly, I'm sure, heard people's stories about super weird encounter of some type while doing a ghost hunt, Bigfoot search, or just talking to somebody, where it's like this whole other level of weird. You know, it's strange seeing something, you know, zipping around in the sky, or, you know, you might catch a shadow out of the corner of your eye, or something big throwing rocks that you never saw out in the woods, things like that. But it's a whole other level when the scientists out at Skinwalker Ranch during the Bigelow investigation are reporting seeing on the edge of the field a guy in a trench coat smoking a cigarette with a wolf's head.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
The thing is that...
That's what drives me nuts.
Yeah, and it was those, because they're just reporting what they saw. Honestly, if they were making it up, they could probably make up something better than a smoking wolf guy in a trench coat. I'd certainly come up with something better than that. You know, there's a big UFO firefight overhead, and we had to defend ourselves. It would turn into a big, you know, adventure movie if they were just simply making it up. But they're just making up. If they're making it up, they're making up the dumbest stuff ever.
Yeah.
you know, the dino beaver sighting.
Dino beaver.
It was a beaver-sized creature that had like the scales on its back, sort of like a like a crocodile or an alligator or a stegosaurus, where it's kind of got the spiky protrusions on its back.
Yeah,
scurrying through the brush as they were venturing there on the plant. The thing is they saw a lot of this stuff. They tried to document as much of it as possible. They wrote a bunch of notes, and they're sending these reports back to the Pentagon. Pentagon sent them there to, you know, they were awarded, you know, they were a civilian company. They were awarded this contract. Hey, we hear there's UFO stuff going on there. Tell us about these UFOs. Try and find out as much as you can. If this is a localized spot where they hang out all the time, this is perfect. You know, you're viewing them in their native environment. We needed to learn more about those UFOs. And they did see UFOs. They saw some strange, you know, things in the sky and in the ground and under the ground inside their house, following them to their homes in Virginia when they would go home. And then there's wolf creatures outside their home, things like that. There's a lot of super weird stuff besides UFOs that they reported. Right. So in the Pentagon, the OSAP thing. Don't ask me about all these acronyms. I was the Air Force for 24 years and I had the acronyms every day and I didn't remember them then. But the OSAP, which is what the Bigelow Group was doing, where they're reporting their reports going to the Pentagon of everything they were seeing. Well, the OSAP guy in the Pentagon is like giant ass werewolves that are bulletproof. What? You know, just that was another one of the
wow, really?
There was this gigantic wolf that was snooping around there, and they shot at it with a hunting rifle. And they said they could see chunks of it getting blown, the fur blowing up and all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
But it never flinched, and eventually it just kind of wandered back into the woods. But so they're seeing all this stuff. There's some UFO stuff in it. So they're taking all that other paranormal stuff that isn't UFOs, and they're kind of shoving that in the back of the drawer, and they're hanging onto the UFO stuff. So when they, and the way groups like that are, is they get a wide range of people where you're trying to figure something out, where you've got, you know, a pilot, you've got a doctor, you've got an intelligence guy, you've got, you know, small arms guy. You have people from a bunch of different, they've been called a million things. When I was in the Air Force, I was part of we called it a tiger team, where basically you take a more 30,000 foot view at like a problem, where the people that are working there that can't figure it out are like too close, you know, can't see the forest for the trees kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you get somebody from the outside to come in and, you know, have that objective point of view. So you would get groups like that, which is that's where Lou Elizondo comes in, is he was part of that kind of round table of people to talk about all of these things, just the UFO parts. And they even in-house to kind of keep all that OSAP stuff separated. That's where they came up with the ATIP thing. That was just the UFO stuff. And it was an in-house thing just in the Pentagon. Well, after a couple of years and many ghost stories and weird cryptids and creepy things happening out at Skinwalker Ranch, not a lot of UFO facts came out of it, at least not enough to the government's thing. So after a couple of years, they're like, thank you for your time. You can pack up and go home now. We're shutting this little three-ring circus down and we're done with it. Well, because it was kind of like the only official thing to report UFOs to, they occasionally would get the, you know, the brave soul somewhere else in the world, military soul, that's like, hey, I saw a UFO. No, really, I don't care if I get fired. I saw it.
Oh, my God.
And they would still report it. Well, there was nowhere for that to go. Well, the ATIP guys deal with it. Here, they just throw it on their desk. It's like, crap, I got to do. So
paperwork.
After basically the group was disbanded. Everybody, and it's not like they sat around doing nothing. You're in the military. There's never a point where you're sitting around doing nothing. There's always something you're supposed to be doing. And so all of these people like got reassigned or moved around, or they had other duties to do.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these reports would keep kind of floating in with nowhere to go. You know, after the office was closed down, they're like, but of course the people that actually ran the thing were like, we don't do that no more. They just throw it off. Apparently Lou Elizondo was like, I'll check that out. But he was kind of doing it because he had his own job. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a counterintelligence guy is his actual job title. And he would, yes, work this stuff after he had every day. It was like his secondary, third, fourth, fifth thing on the list of things to do that he was responsible for. And whenever he'd get around to it, he'd kind of try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, when the New York Times article came out in 2017 saying, Lou Elizondo ran the Egypt program, you're the only one there. Yeah, I guess you're in charge. So that's where he kind of gets that name of, because it's like, that's not exactly true, but he was doing it. But and then of course, I guess it got into a thing. It's like, stop screwing around with this UFO crap. It's like, I think this is important. That's not your job, for one thing. It's got nothing to do with what you're supposed to be doing here. You have other responsibilities. And whatever the machination was, is he leaves. He separates from his DOD job and gets swooped up by this weird group where they formed up the To the Stars Academy.
To the Stars.
The Blink 182 rock star frontman and a bunch of other Hollywood. A bunch of other, it's still acting, Washington insiders that were all part of the, oh, this guy used to work at Skunk Works. This guy used to do this and that. This guy knows about satellites. And they formed their little super friends group together where they were going to figure out them UFOs for us. And we'll even build us a ship if you send us money. And a lot of people did. And the rock star pissed it all away. Supposedly, that's supposedly what happened to all the money that went into that.
Allegedly.
Rock stars acting like rock stars, giving a pot full of money.
Oh, my Lord.
Buy a bunch of useless crap. Who knew?
Yep. Who knew that would ever happen? I mean, geez.
And then Lou Elizondo starts showing up on every... Of course, this is when COVID is all happening, so...
Oh, yeah.
Everybody started their own live stream channel to talk about whatever they wanted, and there was a great resurgence of people on YouTube and other platforms talking about UFOs, talking about ghosts, talking about cryptids. And that's great. You know, more is better, I always think.
Oh, yeah.
But
variety.
Some people didn't believe Lou Elizondo's stories and were vocal about it on their shows. Then they would start getting harassing phone calls at home and threatening traffic. And just all this stuff where they're like, they're getting emails from anonymous accounts that mentioning their like spouse's name and their kids' names and where they live. It'd be a sad thing if something ever happened to them. You'd be all alone then. Just
super
creepy stalking stuff. Which, when you start putting the pieces together, goes back to Lou Elizondo. So Lou disappears for a long time, for several months. But then, this past year, here comes David Grush. Very similar, you know, story where, hey, I worked for the DOD, I worked in the intelligence side, where we do investigations for this people, blah, 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 blah. Started coming across this stuff, talking about alien bodies and technology and from crashed UFOs and all the same stuff that we've heard a million times. Very similar to how Lou Elizondo is. And some of the people you see David Grush hanging out with were in that same circle.
Oh, my Lord.
So, not saying... the thing, I think the word, I don't know anything about David Grush. I don't know what, you know, he sounds sincere. He's a better salesperson, at least, than Elizondo was. Because a lot more people seem to kind of listen to him and maybe believe his story. But what I'm kind of afraid is that little weird group, that whole To the Stars Academy guys and all of those weirdos. Christopher Mellon, I think, is behind all of it. He's lurking in Washington's dark hallways for years. But he's like a gazillionaire already. He's got, comes from a rich family. So I don't see why he cares about any of this. You know, that's where I usually get stuck. It's like, why? Why are they doing all of this?
Greed. Even though, okay, so you look at the way the economy, well, not the economy, corporates, they get to a certain level and they're like, huh, I want to make it to this level. And then they get to that level and they're like, huh, I want to get to this level, regardless of who I fuck over, you know? Right. So it's greed. That's the problem with our GOV. It's greed.
Well, and the thing is what, I mean, okay, they're making money from appearances on, you know, whatever that new news channel is that.
Yeah.
People from others that failed at other
things
yeah, that are now over there.
Yeah.
And I understand that they will pay them a small amount so that they're like exclusive just to their platform, which okay, I get it, but it's not like you're not living off of it, you know. It's not that kind of money.
No.
And it's not, you know, they'll get together with some group and they'll make a documentary style thing about how their fight for disclosure and we're going to figure it all out in spaceships and blah blah blah, send us more money. And even those, that's not bringing in, that's not, we're not talking like they're not millionaires, you know, lighting their cigars with $100 bills at the end of the day. It's still not a ton of money where if they had just stayed in their regular job and done what they're supposed to do, they'd be making way more money if it's about money.
Yeah, but, true.
So I'm that's where it gets really super muddy and confused. It's like, why are they doing this? Because
maybe there's something held over their head.
I don't know. Because you get people like Jeremy Corbell out there that telling his stories, and every time he releases this, I've got this secret classified video that this is the only person that they trusted me because they know I'm going to tell the truth. And they put it out there, and usually within about an hour, certainly no more than 24, it's totally debunked as being a regular thing.
Of course. And it's
done it a bunch of times. Remember the Green Triangle UFO videos? Yeah. The second I saw it, it's like, that's not even in focus. I don't even know what this is.
Well, you're talking about that, but you also spoke at the conference, at the convention that we went to, about the alien on the slab.
The alien on the slab?
Yeah, that had the llama head, and you don't remember, in Mexico?
That wasn't. Oh. The Mexican congressional. Their version of our Congress doing the thing, and they wheeled out the little dolls.
Yes.
Which it's like, that's one of those things where there has to be, when somebody comes out with just preposterous evidence like that.
Yeah.
Where, okay, looking at it, doesn't exactly look like a human, but yeah, if it is, it's like a bee. There is a history of digging up these old mummies and, you know, pulling the human skull off and bolting on a llama's head that they kind of shave down a little bit and put it on there backwards so it looks all weird with weird holes in it. It's an alien! You know, not saying that's exactly what happened there with the ones that they wheeled out there. I was watching that live. I was on a friend's podcast, and I had rigged that was the other problem, is it was all in Spanish. There was no English version anywhere, not even subtitles.
Oh, wow.
And I logged on to my friend's covering it live, and he doesn't speak Spanish because we just assume, maybe that's just us American, you know, arrogant Americans thinking, oh, they'll put something out in English.
No.
He pulled me up in my own screen where it was totally black, and I just held up my phone with Google Translate on. With the audio locked in, yeah. While speaking in Spanish. So you were getting most of it.
Nice.
When they got at the end and the doctors started using technical language about it was my fans. When they started getting like some of the medical procedures and using some of the more, thicker medical technology type conversation, the Google didn't quite keep up with that part of it, but that was fine. Everyone was still pulling their hat. I was like, really? They ended this with wheeling out a couple aliens. All right. And again, I wish it was true, but
all right.
It's kind of not really.
What do you go ahead?
I was going to say Jaime Muson, who was he was the gray-haired guy that you saw during that whole thing. Mm. He's kind of like, actually, he's a lot like how Jeremy Corbell is, where he's like, we've got this fantastic video that was shot of flying humanoids, which obviously looks like a witch on a broom. That's a balloon, sir. Yeah, it's this kind of the same thing where he comes out with the, documented evidence. Look at this video. And he's been doing that for 20 plus years himself, where he's got his own little wacky show there in Mexico where he's always coming up with something. So, again, you see people like that mixed up into a program that's being presented as hard science facts. The federal government is looking into it. And then you see guys like that attached to it. It's like credibility just floated down the toilet.
Well, that's the problem. A lot of us that are in the paranormal field and do research on that kind of stuff know this, but there's a lot of people that aren't, that don't, and they believe everything that comes across either the internet or our media, and it's like, do your own research. Please.
To be fair to, the average person out there, nothing against them. The slightest.
No,
people are pretty busy. They don't have time to sit there and it's like, all right, who's Jeremy Corbell? What kind of evidence is he put? Oh, I remember that. That was fake. Oh yeah, that one was fake. Oh yeah, that one was fake. Why am I believing this guy? People don't have that kind of time.
But they should also know how much the media lies.
Well, a surprising amount of people came to that shocking conclusion finally a couple
within the
years.
Last 4 years,
right? Mostly because of all the COVID lockdowns and stuff like that. As people, we're finally at the stage where we can say that now.
Finally
on a stream. That again, that's not an indicator of something that's being controlled. You
right.
Can't say the technical name of the actual illness
right
on a live stream without getting blotted out.
Right. Oh, you said COVID. Late. What?
Yeah. But a lot of people would like, okay, because everyone was freaked out, especially in the early days, early 2000. And I guess.
Oh, I'll admit, I was freaked out in the beginning because I have asthma. So I was like, oh my God. And then I got COVID.
But a lot of people were freaked out because nobody had any information. That's those early fog of war days where nobody really knows anything. They're still trying to figure it all out and how it's going to impact everything.
Yep.
And as far as things that, a global contagion where you got to lock everything down is the scariest thing. I think biological wise, you could probably drum up. So a lot of people for the first time in a long time, because they weren't at work because they had no jobs because they couldn't work. They're locked in their house, are watching the news, and they're like, the president's gonna have a live press conference today to talk about the latest whatever's going on. So they would watch these live shows of the president talking and bringing up experts, and they're saying their things and whatever. And then like come 6 p.m. when the 6 o'clock news comes on, the afternoon news, they're like, I'll check the news again because maybe something changed in the last 6 hours that I saw the president talk. And they see them covering the presidential news conference and it's nothing like what they watched live. Everything's out of context. They're all twisting around what he's, you know, the president said and things like that. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of to like and dislike about Trump. I'm not saying I'm not waving a flag for him. Don't get me wrong. But they certainly were manipulating things of how it was presented to the public to make it sound like, you know, it was doomsday. They'd have like the Chiron at the bottom with number of deaths so far, with the numbers picking up, and it was all to scare the piss out of you.
Right, and, exactly.
We can look back at it now. It's like, wow, that was kind of dumb. We shouldn't have gone through.
Well, when you look at it now, and if, because I was researching a whole bunch of this shit during the lockdown and stuff. And I was researching what the most common thing of death is. Well, the most common is heart disease. It's a heart disease.
Right.
Then it's cancer. Then it's abortion. And then it's flu and COVID. Flu and COVID. So they're like the fifth down the list. Because if you look at the symptoms of COVID and you look at the symptoms of flu, and then you look at how many deaths there were before COVID of flu, it's the same exact amount as it was during COVID.
And during all the lockdowns, how many flu deaths were there?
There wasn't. They didn't freaking document anything on the flu.
Zero.
And it's like, okay, well, what happened to the flu? It just doesn't disappear.
Right.
It just changes strands.
You would catch the flu the same way that you would catch, you know, COVID.
Exactly. And so many people... And it looks, whenever you look at the statistics, it's the same exact type of people that died of the flu that died of COVID.
Right.
And it's like, I'm not being unempathetic. Is that what the word is? It's Shawnese. But it's right there. It's in black and white. It's in statistics. It's in the documents that... I mean, it's the same. It's pretty much the same thing. When I got COVID, I had the flu just this past year, and I got COVID three times before this. I've had COVID three times, almost four, but it came back negative. But it was the same exact symptoms. It was the same thing. You get the body aches. You feel like you got hit by a Mack truck. You got a fever. It was the same thing. And whenever I went in that doctor's office and I told them, I said, I think I got COVID because it's the same thing. And then they came back with the flu and I went, you're kidding me. So we're going back to the flu now? And the doctor at the time was really cool. And she was like, yeah, we're going back to the flu now. COVID's kind of out the water. I'm like, what the heck? And even... because I'm in the VA. I'm a disabled veteran, and I've gone to the my yearly visit. Did you ever get the COVID shot? Hell no. And I'm not going to get it. And have I had the flu shot? Hell no. I haven't had a flu shot since 2001.
Now, just because of your asthma, you can't get those things, right?
Unless I get an inhaler.
Like, oh, you can't, because they want me to. It's because you medically you can't.
Medically they say it'll induce it, and I could possibly have worse sickness than normal. Right. But yet, a lot of those that were harsh in the lungs, that had problems with their lungs, they were pushing them to get the COVID shot and pushing them to get the flu shot. And it's like, are you not? Because let me tell you, every time I got the flu shot before all this, before I got out of the military, I would get the flu.
Yeah.
I would totally get it. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not getting it again. I'm sorry. I don't want to get sick. And it was a year until after COVID and all came out that I actually got COVID. And I was out and about without a mask. Because
go ahead. I never got sick, but I'm kind of a hermit already. So my lifestyle was really unchanged by lockdowns. Because when I retired in 2009, I kind of had arranged my bills and all that stuff to where I didn't have to go back to work if I didn't want to. And that was in 2009. And so far, I haven't wanted to. So I've been retired since I retired.
Yeah.
Actual retired. Just living off of my my payment. So I do spend a lot of time just kind of sitting around my house playing computer games and chatting with people on the internet like this. And, you know, it's usually like once a week I'll go on a big adventure to like Sam's Club or something like that. But but even before COVID, I was always pretty cut from my time in the military, pretty cognizant of anytime I would go out in public, you know, don't touch your face.
All right.
I had the little thing in my car of, you know, the hand sanitizer and stuff like that I always use as soon as I got in the truck. And I never came down with it. So I don't know.
Well, when I was in the service, I was in the chemical corps. So we learned all about masks and everything. And whenever they were talking about the mask that we were to use when we were on COVID, I was like, that's not going to help anybody.
That's
not going to help anybody. Even
might as well rip a page out of this book and put it over your
exactly.
face.
Exactly. And then when I would tell people that, do you know how much shit I got from that? Oh, and it was like, okay, you know what? You know more than I do, obviously. Go on, go out and do your thing. But, you know, that's them. But like Angel said, she said that she had a coworker die from it, but he had a prior breathing issue. And then says that that's the thing. You could pass away from something else, like a car wreck, and they put cause of death COVID. Exactly. And the biggest problem is a lot of people had either breathing problems or, I hate to say it, they were obese. And then whenever they put people on the breathing ventilators for COVID, they found out that they were putting stuff in those breathing ventilators that would cause the pneumonia to be worse. And it was like, what the hell? Were they purposely trying to kill people?
You remember the news when they were like, we need more ventilators. Elon Musk's converted over his conversion from making electric cars, Tesla cars, to making ventilators.
Yes.
Which I think it'd be kind of cool to have one of a Tesla branded ventilator. It's kind of slick.
Right.
But,
Sasquatch, really? Sasquatch said, wow, my doctor made me get everything and I'm a badass medic. I was only in the hospital with COVID pneumonia for a week. I was lucky. You were very lucky. Very. And then Angel said that their hospitals there aren't allowed to test for COVID now. We were told we have to buy a test and take it at home, that the hospitals and doctor's offices weren't allowed to do testing now. What the fuck? What the fuck? And then have all these
people. It just went away.
Right, it just went away. And then, there's a different strand. Oh, like the flu? Different strands like the flu? But yet all the people that were conspiracy theorists during the time of COVID, which they weren't because they had the facts, they were showing people the facts. They were showing people the black and white. And they were still going, oh, no, no, no. Okay. First of all, people have got to get their head out their ass.
Joe Rogan's telling people to take horse medicine.
Now they're pushing ivermectin. Yes! It's like...
And that was another one of those buzzwords. You couldn't even say that. You couldn't say ivermectin back then.
Oh, my God. It was a clown show. It was such a shit show. We had the United States has gone to way up here to laughing stock of the fucking world because of COVID.
Yep. We definitely could have handled that better. And to be fair, you know, hindsight being 2020 and all that, but that went on way, way too long.
The entire
thing went on way too long. That should have never lasted as long as
they were trying to do the control thing. Because if you remember back in World War II, the doctor, I can't remember his name, but whenever asked on the stand what their plan was or anything, he said to control people by fear. And the only way to control people is by fear. And I believe that's my beliefs, everybody, that they were trying to control the world with fear. Like, if you go out and do this, you're going to get sick and you're going to die.
And there's some people that still believe every single word of that today. And you can go to the store and you'll see, and they're still got
the mask on. And
they still got all that stuff. And they're, it's like, I mean, I understand it.
I'm sorry. I laugh at them.
If you're older, or you do have like pre-existing conditions, I could kind of get, you would certainly want to take extra precautions.
Oh yeah, definitely.
After several months, and that was the other thing, is because, as we mentioned earlier, the death count was greatly exaggerated when
you
have that ticker in the Chiron going up and up, there's a lot of stuff. So how we got on all of this is
it was aliens.
People don't trust the news and have less trust of what the news says about our own government too, because it's such a sideshow.
Yes, so, it is.
Because the average person doesn't have time to go and dissect all this, congressional here. At the most, they might catch like a headline or hear someone else talking about it at lunch or something.
Yeah.
It's like, do you hear they're talking about UFOs and comms?
Oh my gosh, it's sad. Thank you, Angel, for the sub. I appreciate you so much. I hurt your face. Sasquatch Secret said, my doctor in the hospital was believed in vitamin therapy and it worked. High doses of CZ and D3. That's all I took. That's all I took too. Anytime I even get the flu or feel icky like that, that's all I take. I take zinc, vitamin C, and D3. But I take D3 anyway, because I have to take D3 because I have a D3 deficiency. But, whenever it comes to it, yep, vitamin C and zinc. That is the biggest, biggest thing to take whenever you're sick like that. And that was even before the COVID shit.
I have to admit, I didn't know about the zinc component and all of that, which just before it all kicked off, because they were talking about, and you remember all the videos coming out of China, people just falling down in the streets,
right?
Collapsing.
Oh my God.
They're welding doors of apartment buildings closed.
Yes.
All that stuff.
Oh my God.
But when all of that stuff was first starting to kick up, like November-ish, like, I'm going to start stocking up. I'm like half a prepper. I have, some emergency food down in the basement, and I always stockpile things when they go on sale.
Oh yeah.
Things like that. I guess I have a big open basement that I just full of shelves, full of stuff. But I started stocking up on stuff, and I was like, okay, if it gets to like this stage, I'm not going out anywhere anymore. Because I certainly can live for months off of all the stuff I've been stockpiling here lately. And that's basically what I did. And the good thing that came out of it is one of my neighbors, she's 78 now. So subtract, do the math for 2020. And we got to be a lot closer because we'd sit out there and chat with each other. What do you think? all of that stuff, and we chat about all this and that, and I would go to the store for her because she was very concerned. She's
in
her 70s. I understand.
And that's they push the older generation and those with problems, immune system problems,
which is still true.
Yeah,
for even just a regular flu and all those things. So I would do a lot of errands for her, going to the store, and I'd have put my little diaper thing on my face and go in and do my thing and all that stuff. But because I have a Costco membership and a Sam's Club membership.
Aww.
So I bring, the big boxes of stuff back I bring like the occasional, it's like, I know you didn't ask for this, but these look really tasty. Chocolate covered almond, whatever they were, whatever. Yeah, she'd be really excited because she didn't, whatever. we got closer over that. And now, at least once a week, but usually Wednesdays or Thursdays, I'll stop by to see how she's doing.
Oh, that's sweet. I do have a pin that says I survived the toilet paper.
Yes.
Of 2020.
I had a monstrous pack and a half from Sam's Club when all that stuff was going down. So I'm just sitting there watching TV on.
Well, I got lucky. I have Viva paper towels, those really soft ones. So whenever I ran out of toilet paper, that's what I used.
I never ran out.
Oh, man.
You can ask anybody. I am full of crap. So
but, you know, to go into another question, the medical aspect of everything, because there's a lot of advancements in medical stuff anymore. A lot of people say that there's already aliens on Earth and that there possibly is aliens in the corporate and medical fields. What do you think about that?
Have we really seen some like giant leap in medical technology or
probably more robotic technology like nanotech and yeah. Okay, we're going 18 plus here, the sex robots.
Oh, yes. I have a couple of those on back order. Kidding. It's three. It's for a lot of lonely people out there. And that's actually something else that came out of the COVID stuff is a lot of people don't go out and do stuff.
No.
You know, movie theater going and going out to sporting events and stuff. Not that many people go out to them like they used to a few years ago. But that's because you get into that habit of not going. Mm. So you're like, and like right now, money's a little tight.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I'm okay skipping another year going to the movies. I'll wait for it to come on whatever streaming service I have.
Right. Angel said I had people, she worked in Walmart during the time, so she had no time off. She had people coughing all over her, shopping, getting violent over toilet paper. Oh, and Lysol. No bullshit. I can't tell you how many fights I had to stop over some Angel Soft toilet paper. And then she says, give me something to make me feel young again is all I ask of the alien doctors. Yeah, right?
Getting back to the alien thing, I'm not a big medical guy. I don't know much about it. I'm kind of a frontier medicine kind of person. I never go to the doctor unless there's something really wrong with it.
I'm
an emergency room only kind of a, you know,
that's me.
But I don't know that we've necessarily come up with anything that's like that jump. You know, we've gotten into the next phase where that, you know, one thing leads to this and all that. We haven't, at least I don't believe we've seen any medical technology or research take, like, skip a couple of steps. Like, someone just gave us this, you know, pill that'll grow your kidneys back.
Like, yeah, but you look at it. Look at, like, the TB epidemic of the early 1900s. And then you look at now. It's like every 100 years they have a thing. Yeah. And then you look at the nanotech and you look at the cloning that they're doing and you look at all the other stuff and it's like something that would generally take a long ass time to come up with or to produce is not taking that long anymore. And I'm probably sure it probably has to do a lot with AI.
I don't know, maybe aliens. computer modeling certainly has advanced. Probably,
in our lifetime.
But computer modeling for how like viruses work and chemical interactions, even like all the way to like metallurgy and aerodynamics. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to build the giant wind tunnel thing anymore when you can simulate all of it on a computer screen. That has certainly, you know, as computers have gotten better and more powerful and more compact and cheaper as they go, it certainly has improved kind of all avenues of technology and scientific advancement. I'd give that more credit than, you know, a little green dude who was like, you're doing it wrong. You need to use this chemical. See, that works way better.
Well, if it's anything like the interview they had, he'd be coughing the whole time. I'm kind of like an old man that coughs a lot. Anywho, so Area 51, we got like a couple of minutes left and I won't take more of your time. Area 51, we discussed this at the border town thing too. I had said, if there's Area 51, where are the other 50 areas?
And I'm sorry, it's really not that exciting a story, but it's the Area 51, the actual name, you know, supposedly of that zone, is back in the 50s and 60s. We were still trying to figure out and improve on our nuclear stockpile. And there's vast stretches of Nevada that are totally uninhabited, except for, you know, the occasional Joshua tree or cactus and some lizard of some type, I'm sure. So they decided they were going to start detonating above ground nuclear weapons out there in the middle of the desert. And what part of that was they would track the fallout from those detonations, because that's something that, you know, in the 50s, we certainly knew nothing about.
Right.
Because, I mean, we'd field tested like one at Trinity and then used the other, field tested the other two in Japan. And we didn't really have a good wider scope of, okay, if we're going to set off a really big one, how far is this stuff going to go? So they basically just took a map of Nevada and divided it into little grids. 1, 2, 3, blah, 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 blah. 51, 52, 53, 54. And since it's a mystery base with no name and no official designation until the 90s, when people got sick and they filed a lawsuit, and it was Bill Clinton that actually brought it up during a press conference, and everybody's like, the government has admitted to Area 51 being real. Yeah, they were burning everything and people were breathing in toxic fumes and dying from it, is what it turned out to be.
Yeah.
But that's where the Area 51 name came from. That was the grid on the map. Because it used to be.
Yeah, I was disappointed too.
Yeah, it's not very good. The truth really isn't as sexy as the story.
It just says my greatest hope that the aliens would be like that movie Paul. That would be awesome, right? That was a good movie.
I think once we, like, eventually it's going to have, we're going to make official contact.
Yeah.
It's going to be, this will be a regular thing. These tourists are going to come here and maybe, you know, maybe we can go wherever they're from.
I don't know. They might look at us like a bad neighborhood.
Oh yeah, they're rolling the windows up and locking the doors when they swing by air. That's for sure. But monkeys have nuclear weapons and they're using them on each other.
They're stupid. Let's go somewhere else.
And I think it'll be super weird, like weirder than we can comprehend. You know, it's not going to be like Star Trek, where you've got folks in their uniform and hello, you know, bleep bloop and
bleepity bleep bloop,
you know, whoever you are, and you know, where there's an official structure and everybody gets along and all. No, it's going to be like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's going to be like Farscape kind of weird. It's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy weird. Just weird, wonky aliens doing weird, wonky alien stuff that we can't even comprehend what they're doing, because that's the other problem. That's that our humanistic view of stuff is we have a full life set example of one, Earth. That's all we've got to be. There could be some really radicalized life forms out there that we don't even recognize as a life form.
That's true.
Talking to us or telling us not to stand on them or anything like that. You know, there's a lot. We have a lot to learn. You know,
yes, we do.
Before we get out into the galactic community, for sure.
That we do.
So, I mean, it's you can't even go from one major city on the opposite side of the planet from wherever you live and, you know, easily navigate around in a human-made language. You know, that everyone else is speaking and all the signs are in a different language and stuff. You know, if you got dropped off in the middle of China right now, you're gonna have a tough time
trying to figure out
I don't even know where to go, you know, what direction to go to find an airport to get the hell out of here, you know, or can't talk to anybody. You know, it's the same thing. And that's just with humans. What's it gonna be like with a totally alien culture, with totally totally different ideas of right and wrong and totally different idea of how things work that we can't even conceive of, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be a wacky, wild time.
It I'd is.
Try it out for at least a little bit and then realize this is too much. I need to go.
Especially in our lifetime, right?
Yeah. Believe me, if you'd asked me several years ago, so do you think Congress would ever be talking about UFOs? I'm like, no, you're
no.
Not.
No, right?
That's never going to happen. But here it is.
Yeah, but we got a lot of people in Congress that think just printing money is going to solve our
debt. Yeah, let's go. Money machine goes burr. Yeah,
oh my God.
Not how that works, dummy.
No, but that's what they believe. Enzo, tell everybody what's happening for you this year. So if they want to see you or get in contact with you.
Well, I don't have my own channel anywhere on any platform. I just kind of, you know, mooch off of my friends who invite me on a chit chat every once in a while, which ebbs and flows. When they get tired of me, they don't call me for a while, and then I'll just show up on somebody else's show.
Well, you're definitely gonna have to come back online, because there's a lot that we didn't go over.
Oh yeah, and we just stuck to UFOs.
There's yeah, we did.
Line of things we could certainly jabber on about. But I normally can be found on Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube on Doof Doof Paranormal. My friend Karen in Australia, she's a paranormal investigator in Australia, and she's doing she has her own YouTube channel, which she is actually coming to the U.S. later this year, and I am joining her in Virginia City, Nevada, where she does a lot of research about all the haunted places that she goes to try and figure out, much like how we were talking earlier about how the news and the things get fuzzy.
Facts.
She does like deep diving type research on historically haunted places to find out, okay, oh, well, they say the ghost of this person haunts this place. It's like, and then you do the research, it's like that person wasn't even here. When that happened. You know, whatever, you know, when the house burned down or whatever the scenario was. So now Virginia City, which is near Reno, Nevada, has a lot of haunted sites. It's an old silver mining town. So there's been a lot of extremely grisly Old West style deaths that have occurred there. So there's quite a bit of haunted activity all over the whole town. Various different old places that are still standing today from, you know, the old Western times. If you've ever watched Bonanza and they have to go to town, Virginia City's where they're going. It was a very popular place. But anyways, so she's doing a history in relation to the paranormal event in Virginia City.
Nice.
Where it's going to be like a whole big spiel. There's going to be other people that, you know, like after all the conferences, because she's got a lot of people that are coming in that are all paranormal people that have done stuff with, you know, on TV and stuff as well. But Doof Doof Paranormal, she's got, you guys are smart. You can find her on Facebook and read more about it there. But I'll be going to Contact in the Desert this year. Which is always amusing and fun to find out about them UFOs.
Them UFOs.
Yeah, it's because Contact in the Desert is like Burning Man for UFOs.
Nice. Like
it's just UFOs.
Nice.
Although last year they did have a lot of ancient archaeology stuff, and those were actually the more popular things. But anyways... that's always fun to go to, and might stop off and see a few old friends that live in the neighborhood there on the drive out there and back. Still shopping for my travel van. But I've also got a thing here in Kansas later this year where, what's the name of the town?
Caney.
It's, no. Well,
there's a different one.
There's a different
You've
one
got
too.
Two of them in Kansas then.
Oh, what is his name?
Angel says, I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But Geneseo, Kansas.
Geneseo. Oh my God, that's so close to genocide. It's not even funny.
Ugh. Well, it's fortunately the story doesn't go anywhere near that. It's called Geneseo, Kansas. It's kind of between Wichita and Salina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this tiny, again, tiny town that popped up in the late 1800s because it was a water stop for the trains. And they have a historical museum there that basically the town doctor back in the 60s kind of was a big deal there, you know, leading man of the community kind of a thing and stuff like that. And was also very interested in UFOs. So he was his own UFO researcher. He'd take road trips to talk to people about whatever they experienced. He'd take pictures. He was a bona fide UFO investigator in the 50s before the internet.
Wow.
In many cases, before telephones. So he has Jim Gray is the guy who runs the Geneseo Town Museum, which is in this doctor's house.
Oh, wow.
He donated his house as part of what he passed away in his will, that would be like the town museum. So they've got a lot of the old, you know, they have like every yearbook from all of their schools, you know, the first, you know, graduating class of 1893, and there's like two people in it. You know, that kind of they have the original AT&T branded telephone switchboard.
Oh my gosh.
Big wooden thing, and it's, you know, it's the old style where you had to, you know, unplug the connection and plug it into this one because that's the line that goes to their house, and then plug this one into the outgoing.
Oh my
line.
Gosh,
it's pretty cool. They have a lot of really cool artifacts and the history of the town. If you're not familiar with like small town, middle of nowhere kind of places like that, it's really very interesting to see how it evolved from literally a place where the train would stop off to get water because they've got a river that runs through there, or a pond or something, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one room right in the middle of the ground floor that is nothing but this doctor's UFO research. Giant charts of the solar system, which includes like extra planets in it that aren't really there.
Oh. But in
the 50s, they didn't know, you know?
True.
And so it's like, he had the one I'm thinking, I can't remember what they used to call it, but it was, you'd have the sun in the middle and then you've got all the planets to circle around it. Earth would be here, but then there was one on the exact opposite side in the same orbit of Earth. You know, supposedly it always would stay opposite the Earth, so you'd never see it. And it's that there could be a whole other civilization over there. Turns out our orbit's actually a little elliptical, so there would be a point during
the party where you could
see it around the edge of the sun. But it was a fun story. There was a lot of I've seen sci-fi movies about that very thing where a guy, astronaut, accidentally ends up there on that, lands there instead of Earth, and everything's all, you know, crazy military, you know, type environment and all that stuff. He has to figure out how to get out of there. But anyways, a lot of interesting stuff there. A lot of his old books, but me and the Caney gang are going up for a pre-visit.
Ooh.
Where we're going to have full access, where it's just going to be us, full access to all of the stuff, because Jim Gray, who runs the thing, says there's so many just boxes and boxes of just books and papers and stuff, all of it having to do with his UFO research that he's not even looked through yet.
Wow.
So maybe we'll get a chance to take a peek at some of that. I'm very curious to see how that works, because it's already pretty amazing the amount of work that's just that they have on display. Because
yeah,
he traveled all over the place. And they have a Kansas UFO Day, which is July 7th, I think, this year, whatever the Saturday is. Just, you know, happens to be the same as Roswell, because last year, well, 2 years ago, they were doing a street cleaning project in Geneseo, apparently for the first time in a long time, and they were pressure washing all the old curbs and stuff like that in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And the curb that was right in front of this doctor's house, someone, while the cement was still wet, had put like this weird like a compass rose where, you know, you got north, south, east, west, north, south, east, west. So you've got like the 8 points there, you know, 4 different crisscrosses. And where the sun, and it's a line, you know, one, it doesn't have like N or S, it doesn't have anything on there. It's just, it's the compass rose.
Mm-hmm.
The southwest pointing arm has, you could certainly make the argument, but kind of looks like flying saucers on the southwest little.
Oh,
I used the GPS thing on my phone, sat it right down next to it. We like took pictures of it so we get the exact coordinates. And if you draw a line from Geneseo, Kansas, southwest, it doesn't intersect any towns until it gets to a little place called Roswell, New Mexico.
Ooh, interesting.
Don't know what that means, but...
interesting. That is interesting.
In front of a UFO, you know, researcher's house that nobody knew that was there until they, like, went through and pressure treated all the curbs and sidewalks and stuff like that and found it.
Wow. So
we've got that we're doing. And then, of course... there's the Paranormal Paracon and last of September,
last Saturday of the month.
Yep, where we'll be there. And there was a lot of fun last year.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I wish, honestly, I'd kind of jumped in on some of the other boards because I was
on every one of them.
I'll probably do that myself this year. I'll try not to hog all the limelight. I know who knows their stuff and who I should, like, you know, cede the floor to, that they know more about whatever the topic is than I do. But I ended up doing, you know, the UFO there, the last one. It was just me, but it seemed like I did most of the talking there.
So, well, you were asked a lot of the questions, you and Phil.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about, because that's the thing I like about Caney, just Caney in general, is they do a once a month get together thing there at the library, and people come from all over. They invited me down, you know, a while back when they were talking about the 37th parallel.
Oh yeah,
by Ben Mezrich. They were discussing that, which it's mostly UFO stuff. So they invited me down to talk about UFOs with the locals. They probably had about 30 or so people there, which is a very good crowd, you know, there at the library on a Friday afternoon.
Friday night.
And when my favorite part about going to any kind of thing like that is talking to the people that come to the show that want to learn stuff or just chat or whatever. That's my favorite part. It's just talking to regular people. That's my favorite part. Like going to Contact of the Desert and all that stuff. It's like, there were times where it's like, I've seen that guy talk before. I don't need to go see his thing. I'll just hang out here and talk to these people. It's just a blast.
It is. I enjoy it every time I go. That's what I got
coming up this year. Yeah.
Well, Enzo, thank you so much for being on. And thank you for your patience in the beginning where I was so... fucking confuzzled. I didn't know up from down. It's not my show unless there's some kind of technical difficulty. And from what I've seen, there was a technical difficulty throughout the whole thing on StreamYard. There was no sound.
Oh, no.
So, but I found out the problem. It's because I was using Opera instead of Chrome. And next week will be better. But they'll get the video, so the video will upload and it'll have your awesome face in it, and we will continue on from there. But thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate you. I'm gonna have to have you back because there's still a lot we didn't cover.
I was about to say, how long does your show normally last?
It's usually an hour. It's usually an hour, and I'll go up to 2 hours. And most of the time, I still don't get everything that I want to talk about. But you guys, if you guys want to see him, he is on the Book of Faces. He is on tons of different podcasts, and they have some awesome questions for him on those other podcasts, too. So you need to look him up. Enzo Cyril, he's an awesome human being. as you can see. Be there or be square. Until next time, I will see you guys later. Bye, y'all.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Enzo Surreal's interview. Such a great guest. He's a great human being. Go to his channels. Go watch his podcast that he's on. He's amazing. Coming up next week, I've got Mike Ricksecker talking about the Atlanta Triangle and more. Stay tuned and thanks again. Also, you can watch previous video podcasts at my Ko-fi account at ko-fi/geeksparanormal. For just a small donation to help me keep these videos going and keep these videos edited for you guys. You can also watch few clips from my podcast on my YouTube channel at Geeks Paranormal, or go to my website at exploringtheparanormalperspective.com. Thank you guys again so much for your support. You guys are amazing human beings and y'all are fantabulous. Remember, stay free, stay safe, always do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And until next time, see you guys later. Bye, y'all.
It's quite a sight. In the dark, she finds the light. Streams of fun, she's out of sight. Every ghost and gaming fight, she's paranormal, shines so bright. In the dark, she finds a light. Streams of fun, she's out of sight. Every ghost and gaming fight, Geeks Paranormal shines so bright. Ghosts and games all night, Geeks Paranormal's bright. Just chatting feels so right. Try to stream, it's quite a sight. It's quite a sight.